But you know what will work? This thing right here. We're going to be in John chapter 6. I'm missing all the kids tonight. We gotta get them re-engaged. The cold weather and Christmas has thrown everybody's schedule off, and I'm ready for them to get back in school so that they can actually, so that they think that they need to come back to church too. But in John chapter 6, and I'm just going to go ahead and open this up in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you just be with us tonight. Help us as we go through the scriptures to focus on you. We're thankful that there's churches, not just in America, but also in other countries, and that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and that there's going to be a time that we're all going to be in heaven together. And I'm thankful for bodies of believers that they cherish your word, and they want to and they want to study. And I just ask that you'd help us as we get into the scriptures tonight in John chapter 6, that we can look past, I guess, just what we think, and just help us to see through your eyes. Help us to see your scriptures the way that you have given them to us, and let them talk to us, and just grow us in your grace and increase our faith, and help us, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us. And we just love you and thank you for opportunities to serve you, and help us to reach out and to teach others how to serve you the way that they should. Guide us, Lord, in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we get to John chapter 6, and we see that Jesus he's gone into Jerusalem, and he's had some interactions with some of the Pharisees and the Jews, and they wanted to persecute him, and Jesus has a conversation with them in chapter 5. And I'm not going to go into all that. I'm really just wanting to just stress some of the stories of Jesus, his life, and what he did. Now, you can slow down and you can read all the words in red, just like our Christmas program talked about. But that's just not what I'm doing right now. There will be a day. Y'all keep me around long enough, and we're gonna hit every scripture in the Bible probably. But tonight we're gonna go over to chapter 6. And we see where Jesus has kind of left Jerusalem, and the disciples have gone with him, and they crossed the sea. They went over the Sea of Galilee, which verse 1 says is also the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. All these people, they've been listening to Jesus teach, and they're following him. And the scripture says that there's kind of a reason that all these guys were there. They were there for a feast. They were there to serve God, and to learn more about him. And they meet Jesus, and he's telling them about how God's word is supposed to work in their life, and how God is supposed to be applied in their life. He even did some miracles on it. The scripture says that he healed diseases and just all manners of illnesses. And then they get out in this wilderness area, and Jesus looks out and he sees all these people. And he leans over to Philip and he says, "Philip, these people are hungry. They need some food." And Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows how to take care of this problem. By the way, there's not a problem that we have that Jesus doesn't know how to take care of. But he may ask you something. He may try to test your faith to see how are you going to respond. You know, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And Jesus leans over to Philip and he says, "Philip, what can we do about this?" And the first thing Philip says is he pulls out his wallet and he's like, "You know, and I got a bunch of papers. You know, nothing green is worth anything in there." And he's like, "We've got nothing here. I got a church credit card. You know, how much bread can we buy for that? You know, That's really what Philip was thinking. He's like, well, you've got to have money to buy the bread. Jesus, we don't have enough. We don't have enough money to buy all this. Our resources are too short. So Jesus continues to have the conversation, and Andrew is around. Andrew hears it. He's like, well, there's this kid right here. He's been following me around all day. He's got a brown paper bag, got a couple fish and some bread in it. But Philip, he picks it up. He's like, this little kid, he's got enough for himself for a lunch. And then he looks at them, just the multitude. He's like, but what is this? You see, he was on the right track. In fact, Philip was on the right track too. He just got stumped by the enormity of the situation. And he realized, my checkbook is insignificant. Andrew says, this brown paper bag of lunch is insignificant. What are these to so many? And Jesus steps back. He says, make everybody to sit down. Make them sit down. And he takes that brown paper bag, that lunch, and he gives thanks. And he breaks it. And he hands it to the disciple, and he says, give this to the people. And they start distributing it out. Everybody eats. And after a little while, Jesus says, all right, now go around with baskets. Each one of you get a basket and go collect the what's left, the leftovers. We may need these later, you know. Y'all like leftovers? Yeah, if you're out in the desert, you really like leftovers. When I was growing up, there wasn't much such thing as leftovers. In fact, that's what it looks like in my house these days. Leftovers is like an extinct animal, you know. They just don't exist. But they went around, and each one of them came back with a basket full. They started out just a little bit. And now they have more than one person can carry. It takes all 12 of the disciples to bring back the leftovers. Now, I want us to slow down just for a second. Now, all these people, they saw that. They saw what Jesus did. They said, this guy must be the prophet that was talked about so long ago. This has to be him. Yes, we've seen the miracles, but this is the next level. He's creating something basically out of nothing. Only God can do that. And you know, and that's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to take insignificance and make something out of it. Make something grander than you can even imagine. Not really to make you rich, but at least to feed the people, to take care of those around you. But it starts by seeing the need. Look back with me in verse 5. It says, and when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? See, Jesus looked out, he saw a need. The people are hungry. They need something to eat. And I don't think that in America they're hungry for food. They've got plenty to eat. Most of us, you know, we get out of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year, and we're like, I ate too much. And we start thinking about the diet plan for the next year so that we can repeat it, you know, whenever Thanksgiving and Christmas comes again, because we're not a hungry people, not really. Not for food. But of this right here, we are starving to death. We're not getting enough. You know, whenever we sit down to eat, it might be a good idea to do something with the scriptures. If you're all by yourself, so that you can feed on two things at once. Make you think about it. But Jesus saw the need. and he turns to Philip and he says, "Philip, how can you take care of this need? The task is overwhelming." Philip's like, "Man, my restaurant can't handle this many people. I can't do it." Andrew, same thing. It's not enough. The problem is their lack of understanding. They didn't know who they were with. They didn't know the power that Jesus Christ had in his possession. And you know, in our life, we're the same way. We don't know the power of Jesus Christ. He's in our possession, and we don't understand his power. We have limited, we have actually sinned against God when we refuse to acknowledge how much power Jesus has. We've limited God. "Oh, this is too big. We can't do that." That's actually a sin. Limiting God is a sin. And we have to make sure. And we realize, like the Apostle Paul would say, all things with God are possible. There's nothing impossible to him. There's no rock that he can create that's too big for, that's impossible for him to lift. God, he's all powerful. He can't do that because he's outside of all that. He has this whole universe in his arms. He's controlling it all. Have you ever seen a picture of just the how grand the scale is? I was watching something this week, and it talked about the earth, how big the earth is, and that you could take, I think it's close to a million earths and put them in our sun. And then you look at the sun, and you put it over to the biggest star, and you could take a million suns and put it in that star. Just the power that came from God when he created those things. I mean, we just don't understand. And then when times get difficult to us, or in our culture, in our society, in our church, in our community, we think this is overwhelming. You know why? I guess maybe you guys don't have that problem. It's me. I have that problem. Because when I look at this generation, I'm like, "Lord, how do you reach the impossible?" It's like everything is against your scripture. The media is against it. The school system is against it. The government is against it. Most of the churches look like they're against it. People that profess the name of Christ, they're against it. I'm like, how do we overcome this? And then I realized it's not my job to think like that. God's going to take care of it. My job is to just do what he's told me to do. And whatever it looks like at the end of that, that's what I need to do. That's what I need. That's how I need to approach the impossible. Feeding the 5,000, impossible for me. Impossible for you. Especially when all you have is a few bucks and a sack lunch. But with Jesus, it's nothing. He whipped that up within a few minutes. Everybody was taken care of. It took them longer to distribute the food and pick it up than for Jesus to take care of the problem. And that's how we've got to look at it. That's how we have to approach. Whatever it means, I can't say I fully understand it, but let me tell you, he can handle it. And this has been something that goes all the way back. Let me give you a scripture, Psalm 78 and verse 19. There's some rebellious people that have come up against God back then, and the same today. They come against God, and they say, "Yea, they spake against God. They say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I can. I can absolutely." And it's not just a table that looks like your table at the house, Mitch, that has no leftovers. The table I give to you has leftovers. I can take care of this. It's not a problem for me. But we have to understand something. Caring for needs, it does take resources. Philip understood that. Andrew understood that. But what we do know is that, you know, we don't have enough money to take care of this problem. We don't have enough supplies to take care of the problem. But this is where Jesus comes in. And he says, give me the boy's lunch. And he gave thanks. You want to know how to multiply things in your life? Give thanks. That's what Jesus did. Thankfulness is how you're going to do it. Not thinking that, well, they're better. Leaning on the insignificance of what you have or what you don't or what you think that you don't have. You give thanks for what you have, and you give what you believe is insignificant to Jesus, and you let Him bless it. And that's how you multiply things. That's how you feed 5,000 people with a sack lunch. You give thanks over it. You give God what you have. Can you think about this little boy? He's like, man, y'all should have seen Noah today. You'd have thought he never ate when we took him to lunch. So excited about the food. I can just imagine this little boy. He probably has been saving that all day long. And then, Andrew, you want me to give you my lunch? I wonder if it was Andrew's nephew or a little boy or something. He's like, this kid's got a lunch. He's been carrying it all around all day long. And we don't know the boy's name. We're never going to know that boy's name until we get to heaven. But that day that you realize that he gave up what he did, he's not Bill Gates. He's not Donald Trump. He's not Joel Osteen. He's not Rick Warren. He's a little no-name kid with a sack lunch. And he fed 5,000 people because he gave to Jesus and was thankful. He was thankful. You want to know how to multiply stuff? Be thankful. That's how you do it. Don't complain. Don't dwell on what you think you don't have. Just be thankful for what you do have. And be willing. Jesus, I don't have much. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And I'm thankful for it. Watch miracles happen in your life. I think you'll be amazed. Some of y'all can probably testify to the fact, maybe this isn't new to you, and you're like, that's old news, Brother Mitch. It may be old news to you, but there is a generation coming up. They are not thankful. They think that you owe them something. They're not grateful. They're not grateful for what the veterans have done in the past for their freedom. They're not thankful for what the government has given to them today. They're not thankful for their parents sacrificing. And let me tell you, the parents have sacrificed. Both the parents have worked because they thought that they needed to help these kids out. And they're ungrateful. You know, that's a sign of the end times. Unthankfulness is a sign of the end times. If we can get back to understanding that that's what Jesus did, he just gave thanks. God, thanks. Thank you to this little boy for giving this little bit that he has, and bless it. And let it feed 5,000 people. And that's exactly what Jesus did with it. First Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hey, whatever you have, be thankful and give it to God. This God, the one who's, it's a controversy, it's a mystery, I don't understand it. It's 3:16. So, what do we do with what we've got? Just give thanks over it. Another thing about what Jesus takes and whatever you give and multiplies it. Look at verse 11 through 13. Let's look at that just for a second. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise other fishes, and as many as they would, and they were filled. And he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. See, Jesus doesn't want us, he doesn't want us to be frivolous with his stuff. Whatever he blesses, he wants us to be good stewards. Don't let anything be lost. They gathered it in verse 13 together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You see, what we see as insignificant, God sees as a force multiplier. You know, that was something I saw when I was in the Air Force. They would call things that they appear to be insignificant as force multipliers. The mission cannot happen without these things. You know, when we fail to give of our life, and it's not just money. You know, did you see in this story, did God use the money? Wasn't interested in the money. He wanted what was already in possession, and he wanted to use it. He wanted the thankfulness to come from what was already apparent, and he wanted to use it as a force multiplier. Look what happens whenever we get to verse 14. And those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. You see, all of a sudden they'd seen those miracles. They had seen his teaching. And then all of a sudden they realized, this is the Messiah. This is that prophet. See, God takes that little bitty thing that you're thankful for. You think it's you think it's really nothing. You think it doesn't really matter that much. You really, you know, and really most of it, you're like, what is it of me to really give this? It's nothing. But God sees it as a big deal. In fact, it's so much so, 5,000 people really get to know Jesus. And the disciples, I can only just imagine those guys totally amazed. The psalmist he'll say it like this in Psalms 23 and verse 5. As he's talking to God, y'all probably know the 23rd Psalm. Heard it over and over again. Have you ever slowed down at verse 5? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, I always think it's amazing when you see God's people in the presence of their enemies, that God overly and abundantly blesses them. They look like they're all alone. God blesses them. Let me give you some examples. Daniel and his buddies. Four young men who said were thankful. And they didn't have the college education from a Bible college. They had it from Babylon. That's where they were getting educated. The devil's system. And they said, we refuse to be accounted with those numbers. I'm not going to... And they purposed in their heart that they would not sin against God, even in that environment. And God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prepare your table in the presence of your enemies. Your cup will run over. Daniel saw three empires rise and fall, and they all came to him for advice. You see, the worst that it gets, and I really think this, you know, we see the end, it looks like it's so bad, but this is what I see through the scriptures, that the worse it gets, you see the Daniels, the Samuels, the Davids, The best that you can think of rise to the surface. Because God prepares those who are thankful and they give all credit to Him a table in the wilderness. He anoints them. Their cup runs over. Nehemiah, Esther, Mordecai, David. I mean, the list just, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, these things, it doesn't look like that they should have had success. But God says, they realize something. That God can do anything, and they take whatever it is that they have obtained in this worldly, demonic system that we have to live in, and they give it to God. And they're thankful. But with that thankfulness, they're like, God, whatever I have is yours. What do you want me to use it for? It's yours. Now, if you want me to take a buddy fishing, I'll be glad to go fishing with him if that's what I need to do. Do I need to let somebody who's less fortunate or of someone who's had a bad situation happen? If I can help them, I want to help them. You know, like I said this morning, God opens up doors for people with that type of heart, and that's what I think God is doing. I think you can see it. He wants us to be thankful for these things. So with that, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a good God. I want to thank you for the things that you have blessed me with. I want to thank you for passages like this that show us that you can prepare a table even in the midst of our enemies, and the cup can run over. You know, I'm not interested in those things, but I think it helps me to know that you are very interested in what I'm doing with the things that you have given to me, that you've allowed me to obtain. Help me to use those for your edification, to whatever it is that I, and I help me to be a thankful person, and help me to teach thankfulness to those who will give me the time of day, and let me share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is Lord in these things. Help us to be a blessing unto others, and just grow us, Lord. Unify us, and help us to seek your face in everything that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just sing a song with me. You might know it. It's called Give Thanks. Y'all know that song? I think it's in this blue book.